There in the Gospel of John, 5th chapter, beginning at verse number 1, it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, is a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Amen. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, One Word, Stuck. Stuck. Back during World War II, the Corps of Engineers commissioned a new highway to be built in Alaska. Never been there before, but it is a road that allowed 10,000 soldiers to come together. In a period of 8 months or more, they built a highway stretching some 1,300 miles. Two-lane, paved road. It would connect Alaska with the lower 48, as well as northern British Columbia and the Yukon. Persons who have ridden this road will tell you there's some rough stretches along the way. In fact, you get on the road, it has been said that there are some potholes along the way. Anybody know about that? Amen. Your car may be in the shop now because of a pothole or a chuck hole. I had to research on last evening in West Virginia that I know of, there is a pothole festival that takes place. A town has so many holes in the road that they celebrate it with the intent of getting action. But there are portions of this road that are gravel. And the person who is quoted said, "You know, there's a sign that says, choose your rut carefully. You'll be in it for the next 200 miles. Ruts are not limited to highways. If we're honest today, we've all had situations in life where we've been in a rut. We've become stuck in life experiences, cemented, grounded, glued to a situation. Now, in your nonverbal way, has anybody ever been stuck in a place that no matter how hard you tried to make progress, you were stuck physically, stuck emotionally, stuck spiritually? And that's the story of the man in our text today. He finds himself stuck. Stuck between a rock and a hard place. We're not going to worry about the monitor, amen? We're just going to preach the gospel. So don't y'all worry about what's on the screen and what's not on the screen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't want to get stuck on this. Heaven's GPS system takes us to Jerusalem. And we find that Jesus shows up in the area and goes down by the pool of Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy, covered by 5 porches. And as the story goes, that there's a pool. And whenever the angel of the Lord comes down and stirs the pool. If you're able to get in shortly after, you'll be healed. Some of you Bible students know about this story. And you know how it's going to end, don't you? But this is a story where the blind and the lame and the paralyzed end up. So Jesus encounters this man. They just says who was an invalid person, which means that he was made weak by some illness or injury. But it's clear he's outstayed his welcome. Somebody forgot to tell him he could leave poolside. Maybe he never checked out. Amen? And time and time again, this man missed an opportunity for his healing. He was stuck. How many opportunities have you and I missed? We're still beating ourselves up. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. But for 38 years, this man was stuck by the poolside. I'm not good at math. You don't know that. So he was there before the birth of Christ. At the same place, at the same time, 38 years, 456 months, 1,900 weeks, 13,000 days, 332 hours. How long have you been stuck, if you are indeed stuck? 4 hours. Perhaps 38 years, 38 days, 38 minutes. But Jesus comes on the scene and he raises a question. Six words. Do you want to get well? And we'll find that the man makes an excuse. But Jesus is focused on the excuse. And the excuse leads to an experience. Verse 7. This is the response. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me. Every time I apply for the promotion, I don't get it. Every time I try to move forward, somebody is blocking me. Every time I try to make progress, it's those folk who are getting in my way stuck. An excuse is an attempt to lessen the blame, attaching it to seek or defend or to justify. In other words, it's not my fault. Anybody ever been there this morning? I tried, but there was nobody to help me. Yeah. Yeah. I had no one to put me in the pool. Perhaps he had no family to help. Nobody could help a brother out in this situation. He must have had high hopes that one day he too would get his healing, watching other folk leave the pool. Have you watched somebody move on from your circle and you said, that should have been me, or I wish it was me, or I don't know how they got it, and so there's some hateration that goes around? Excuse. He had plenty of missed opportunities, and you and I have thrown in the towel far too many times. I could just stop right there. Just to encourage you. You're not washed up yet. Don't stop trying to improve your situation. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. The Lord is waiting on you to do something. You got to move. Amen. I came across this. It's not a Tim Tuden original, but I'm going to name it the as soon as I syndrome. As soon as I fill in the blank, every time I, as soon as, and so we continue to make excuses about what it is, and he perhaps just wanted to verbalize what he was going through. But that was not the question. The question was, do you want to get well? But Jesus does not focus on the excuse. And so there's excuse again. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. So I want you to, for a moment, to take your mind off of a pool. I don't want you to look at the character, but I want you to put on the sandals of this man. I want you to put yourself in his place. The scripture only leads us to that, but I want you to use your spiritual imagination. You are the one who is stuck. And so Jesus issues a command. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Getting up requires some effort. Amen. It takes some 200 muscles just to get up. Some of us get up a little slower than what we used to, but it takes a lot. Y'all ain't that old. You grunt a little bit. The man did not have the strength, but he seemed to understand what get up meant. Amen? And to move. Acts 3 and 6, you remember Peter and John, they're going to the temple to pray. And as they get near the entrance, there's a man who's looking for a handout. He says, silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus, get up. Now, some folk, you ought to just tell, I want to help you. You got to get up. Amen? And so this sense of excuse, Jesus did not ignore it, but he did not focus on it. And so, yes, he hears us, but he's not dwelling on the excuse. Am I making sense this morning? And so that he is not saying, well, hold on. Well, I understand. Now, tell me more information again. At what time did they not put you in? Did you document this? Is there a list over the 38 years that no one helped you? No. He says, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Don't forget the mat. The mat was a symbol of hope in his life. It's a reminder what God has done for us. If I were to check your belongings, you've got a mat. Oh, yes, you do. Something that you've been attached to for many years. You might call it something else, but it's a mat. Amen? That thing that you refuse to let go of, that thing that gives you security, he says, get up and take your mat with you. Amen? Amen. It is that reminder. What is your mat? And maybe it served for him that every time he looked at it, it reminded him of where God has brought him from. What is it in your life that every time you see it, it reminds you, God, I know that trouble won't last always. This symbol reminds me of where you brought me from. Oh, come on, y'all feel me this morning. That we all have a mat. And he says, walk. This is something the man hadn't done in 38 years. We don't know if he would walk before, but you're telling me to do something that I've not done. Amen? You're telling me to walk. You're telling me to move. And apparently, to walk is to go where God is leading you and I. Walk toward your future. Walk toward your blessing. Jesus refused to focus on the excuse. So what are you going to do with your excuse now? Your book of excuses, shut them down. Is that when the Lord speaks to you through his word, by way of his spirit, by way of other persons, there's not a long explanation. Just do it. Amen? He made an excuse. Christ didn't dwell on the excuse, but the excuse led to an experience. He picked up the mat and he moved on. Can you imagine what he must have felt like? That you've been in the same rut for all that time and now you can walk and leave your pool behind. Have you ever been in a place in life you were stuck for so long that when you finally got unstuck, you were like, it don't even feel real. I don't know if it's real. I'm going to keep moving in case I've had a bad dream. But my God, he wants to bring you from the stuck mindset and move you to a new place. He had experienced a healing. Luke 19 and 10 reminds us, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The world is full of people desperate for an encounter with Jesus. And this man was in the right place at the right time. Well, for you, it's not Pusai. But God wants to transform us. Romans 12 talks about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. I want to just leave this with you. Jesus has a record of transforming lives. I brought a few witnesses by this morning. He cast out an unclean spirit in Mark 1. He cured Peter's mother-in-law, Mark 1 and 30. He healed the leper in Mark 1 and 40. He healed the centurion's servant in Matthew 8. He raised the widow's son from the dead in Luke 7. He cured two demon-possessed men in Matthew 8 and 28. He cured a paralyzed man in Matthew 9. He raised the ruler's daughter in Matthew 9 and 18. He cured a woman of an issue of blood for 12 years. Luke 8:43 opened the eyes of two blind men, Matthew 9 and 27. He loosened the tongue of a man who couldn't speak, Matthew 9:32. He restored a withered hand in Matthew 12 and 10. He cured a deaf and mute man in Mark 7:32. He cured a woman who had been bent over for 18 years, stuck in Luke 13:10. He cured a man with abnormal swelling in Luke 14. He cleansed two lepers, Luke 17 and 11. He raised Lazarus from the dead, John 11 and 1. And Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. The grave thought it had him stuck, but the grave was wrong. John 21, 25 says Jesus did many other things as well. Everyone was written, there would not be enough space and the whole world wouldn't have room for it. And that's what you come in today. You know what God has done for you. You finally got unstuck here just recently. And because he pulled you from that place, my God, you ought to have a testimony about where you used to be. I know, 1 foot out and you're still stuck. Until you pull out both feet and says, I'm marching on to Zion. And so I don't know about you, but I'm glad today every time I feel I'm going in a quicksand situation, I say, yes, I want to get well. Yes, I'm going to pick up my mat. Yes, I'm moving on. Isn't that good news today? And don't let folk know that you've not been stuck. You're too proud. You're shamefaced. You say, listen, I know where you are. I used to be there. Go check my inscription in the cement of life. God has moved me on from where I used to be. Anybody feel like they want to get out today, that you've been stuck for far too long? It's time. I'm coming out. Anybody ready to come out today? And when you come out, say, you know what? Let me tell you my story, but it's not really my story. It's an old, old story about a Savior who came to save a wretch like me. And that's why I'm coming to you today, because I get stuck every now and then. Aren't you glad today that he will guide you into all truth? How many folk just want to follow Jesus? Now, let me just throw this in so the pastor didn't misread it.
Okay.
It says, on the Sabbath. Well, why would you put that there? John, fast forward in, he grabs the mat on the Sabbath, goes into town, and they say, what are you doing walking? See, folk, remember you when? Oh, you walking now. Oh, it's like that. So you walking now, huh? And you're carrying your mat on a holy day when you shouldn't carry it. And then they put him on the stand. Who did this? I don't know. Isn't that amazing? He didn't even know the Savior, but he knew that somebody he had met, this man from Galilee, had freed him because he believed and God was yet transforming him. And then began to question that was wrong, but he didn't even know Jesus at the time. But for those of us who know him and are still stuck, my God, you ought to get up and shake off those grave clothes. Shake off doubt. Shake off fear. Shake off disappointment. I'm moving on because God has moved me from poolside and put me now in places where I see increase and places where I got praise. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. I used to. But blessed be the God today, I make out. Anybody used to be stuck? Come on, stand today. We've been quick to criticize this man. I don't know how in the world he stayed there that long. Look in the mirror. Why are you still where you are after all this time? He heard the voice of Jesus. Other folk may have given him a 20-day pool plan. They may have said, here's how you get out, section 2. But it was only when he hears the voice of Jesus that he moves. Let's bow. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Thank you for true freedom. Yeah, I once was lost, blind. Now I see. God, we thank you for what is possible by trusting in you today. For your people today, God. Grab your mat. Get up and get out of here. Perhaps there's one today stuck. Been trying to move, but you're stuck. Stuck in a dead-end job and stuck in an unhealthy relationship. Stuck. Jesus stops by your location, your address, and just says, do you want to get well? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today in the pardon of your sins, you need to get well. It's provided by way of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. We pray in the name of Jesus. If there's one today in this place or by way of social media who has never given their heart to you and who've been in a stuck state, that they may receive you in Jesus' name. Blessed be to God today. Come on, give God a praise today. You may take your seats.